before the news, I mentioned a new phobia to you, compulsive thoughts. That's the heading it's been given. It's the first time I've heard about it. But, you know, we all have phobias, don't we? Well, most of us do anyway, whether it's a dislike of spiders or snakes or heights. But have you ever stood at the top of a massive building and had an overwhelming desire to jump off it? Or what about being on a ferry and all you can think about is leaping into the water? Well, this kind of thing is known as compulsive thoughts. Always thinking about the thing you really don't want to do or happen. And apparently, they're more common than we think, as we found out in Oxford.
My husband, he doesn't like heights at all. Can't get him up in a lift at the mountainside or anything like that. I think he just feels insecure and he thinks he's going to fall or something.
I like to put tins in the cupboard with their labels all facing the same way and right way up, but I'm not obsessed by it. I just don't like seeing them upside down. My wife, I had to hold her back at the top of Notre Dame. She got to the top and she ran to the side and she literally wanted to throw herself off. So there are, I can see this is very true, it's very real, that people really do want to do this.
Well, let's find out more about compulsive thinking. My guest in the studio is Lisette, and Lisette is a cognitive hypnotherapist. Good morning.
Morning, Shabina.
Thank you very much for coming in today. Why don't you explain, first of all, what a cognitive hypnotherapist is?
A cognitive hypnotherapist... Well, it's different from conventional hypnotherapy. Cognitive hypnotherapy was developed by Trevor Sylvester of the Quest Institute. And it uses the latest findings on how the brain works to get quick, permanent, effective results. We work with the unconscious, and the unconscious is sort of 80 to 90% responsible for all our behaviour and our beliefs. We use all sorts of different therapies, NLP, EFT, EMI, CBT, you name it. We use it. If it works, we use it.
Well, it sounds impressive. I have no idea what those therapies are.
Well, they're different ways of working with the unconscious mind.
Right.
Because, as I say, if the unconscious mind is mostly responsible for our behaviour and our thoughts, then that's going to be the most effective way to reach that part of the brain and help reframe what's going on to make it more effective so that the client really begins to have the life that they want to have.
Mm. We'll talk about how the unconscious mind then takes over the conscious mind and you do something that could very seriously endanger your life. But let's talk about compulsive thinking. It's a relatively new thing, isn't it? I mean, I haven't really heard of it before.
I don't know if it's a new thing, but you know what it's like once we label something, more and more people can identify with it.
It's come to our attention more now, has it?
For sure.
Why? Why has it come to our attention now?
I suppose we're more willing to talk about it now, aren't we? It wasn't very long ago that we didn't talk about things that we were upset about, the things that we thought weren't working for ourselves in our lives. And I know that people with obsessional disorders very often don't tell anybody about them. And so it can be a very, very long time before they get any help.
I mean, I was saying earlier, it's you know, when you think the unthinkable, like, for example, if you're on the top of a building and you're thinking, what would happen if I jumped off? And you, in your job, you do come across people, don't you, who think about the unimaginable and are very, very worried that they might actually carry it out. And I know that you have you have ladies and women that you help who are very concerned about perhaps harming their children.
That's not completely uncommon. We all have, as if there are hundreds and thousands of free-floating thoughts all out there, and some of them will enter our heads and disappear again. And it's more a question of what you focus on. And so if you have a thought that disturbs you, it's possible that you might think, where on earth did that come from, and start worrying about it. So, for example, a mother just having a vision of hurting her baby. Or, as you say, someone throwing themselves off a building, what would happen if? And it disturbs them so much that they even had the thought in the first place that they become obsessed by it and can't seem to get rid of the thought.
I can see why you would be, or anyone would be, reluctant to discuss these fears with anybody else, because, you know, you're going to be afraid that someone's going to think you've gone quite mad.
Or even afraid that
someone
will take
your children.
Exactly.
That they'll take the children away.
And the fear of possibly carrying out the action is what worries people the very most. And that really does keep them awake at night.
And how would they come across somebody like you, a cognitive hypnotherapist? At what point would they come into contact with a professional? Would they have to go and seek the help, or would they be referred via a doctor or a medical profession?
Well, sometimes, once the doctor knows about it, sometimes he will refer clients to me. Mm. But otherwise, it's usually up to the individual to go and seek the help. Even if they've gone to the doctor in the first place, they've at least identify they have a problem and want to go and get some help.
And can you, cure? I'm sure you can't often completely cure people. But
we don't talk about curing people because it's not something that I do to somebody else. When a client turns up, we work together. So it's not like I can do something, I cure somebody else. However, I help them to let go of whatever their problem is. And it can happen quite quickly too. So we don't talk about cures so much as healing and letting that person let go of whatever their problem is.
And is this kind of gender specific? Do you find that perhaps is it more men or women, or women or men, or age groups?
Well, it's everybody, but it is predominantly women.
Really?
Yes.
And why do you think that is?
I don't really know. I don't really know, except that women tend to think of many things at the same time, whereas men tend to compartmentalise things.
Right.
So they tend to deal with one problem at a time and not even think about the others until it's time to them.
That's a good point. And I mean, I know this sounds terribly sexist, but I think women are expected more than men to cope, aren't they?
I suspect you're right, yes.
So if we're talking about children, and if, you know, for a mother, it would be very, very, very difficult to admit that you were having, you know, worrying thoughts about your
yes,
child.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You know, compulsive thoughts have been around for a long time. But as you say, the reason we're able to talk about it now is because it has now got that banner and that understanding, and people are being told that actually you don't have to be ashamed to come forward and discuss your fear. They're quite normal, aren't they?
Well, yes,
well,
they are.
You know, relatively normal.
They are. In actual fact, we reckon that about 11% of the population suffer from a specific phobia at some point in their lives, and that 1 in 40 people suffer from some sort of obsession or compulsive behaviour.
Fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
It's more than perhaps we first realised.
I know you have a website with information and help and advice. You want to quickly mention that before we get the travel news?
Yes, thank you. www.soundspositive.com. Sounds positive is all one word.
All right. Lizette, thank you very much for coming in this morning. It is 20 past. Tom Zell, let's get the latest travel.